Right, as I said, Friday was World Day of Prayer. And so to capture the fact that we are a global community of believers sharing one word, one Bible, I thought it might be interesting to share a piece of scripture, if you could put the piece of scripture up, in different languages. So I thought we'd use this one, which is from Isaiah 48, the word of the Lord stands forever. So Howard is going to start us off with a language and see if you can guess which language it is. So go for it, Howard.
My Gaia D and Seveth Ambeth.
Can anybody else say that piece of scripture in another language? Eleanor. Oh. So no, go on, Laurie.
La palabra de nuestro Dios permanece para siempre.
Oh. Do we know what that was? Yeah. Eleanor. Oh, thank you. Oh, well done.
Cantonese.
Do we know what that was?
Cantonese.
Mandarin? Was it Mandarin?
Oh, Mandarin.
Mandarin, yeah. Thank you. Any more languages? Oh, Brendan?
No, we're going to Hillary.
Davar Eloheinu Yakum La'olam.
Ooh. Do you know? Oh, yes. Hebrew. Thank you, Hillary. Brendan, wait for the mic.
Ladumu Milen.
Right. Any guesses? Swahili. Yeah. George understood it. Sarah.
La parole de notre Dieu subsiste éternellement.
Ooh, French, thank you. Very good. Any more? Ooh, Sue.
Harren's oar står fast i sin hand.
Norwegian, yeah. Well done. Thank you. Any more languages? Anybody know any more? Would you like to, shall we all say it? Those of us who don't speak any other languages, say it in English. And if you can say it in another language, so should we say it together? And then so that we all say it in different languages, just to represent that we are all, wherever we're from, we are sharing one gospel, one word of God. So let's say it together. So I'll count you in. 3, 2, 1. The
My
word
God,
of
dear,
the Lord
Seveth
stands forever. Thank you ever so much, everybody who's contributed to languages. That's really nice. So I think it's nice to know in these times of conflict that we do all stand together. The global church stands together. So we do all share one prayer as well. So we're going to say the Lord's Prayer in English. let's remember that today, all across the world, people will be saying this prayer that Jesus taught us. So let's share this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we'll have another song now. So declare that we are the people of God, and that we are going to sing his joy no matter what's going on around us. We will take the collection with this song. So the bags are for the work of the church and the boxes are for the children we sponsor. So if you want to let the bags pass, that's absolutely fine. If you're a visitor or if you pay electronically.
Sing
So we thank you, Father, for these gifts, and we give them to you for the work of the church and for the support of the sponsor children across the world. We ask that you would guide us as we use this money. We ask that you would bless the people who've given it, and we particularly ask that you would bless the projects that we use it for and the children who are supported through the sponsorship programme. Amen.
Amen.
Now, does anybody ever remember making paper chains? I used to love making paper chains. Do you still make them at school? So I've made a giant one. And I just thought, given that Neil was talking about being ambassadors for Christ, we'd have a nice big paper chain. Would you like to come and help me unfold it? because with a paper chain, there's loads of symbolism in a paper chain. So you've got one person, but behind this one person there are loads more concertinaed. So do you want to unfold it
and maybe lay it across here?
So if you Freya, take it to the to your left, and then we can stretch it out and hold it out, because in a paper chain, you've got all these little people who are together, who are holding hands. And I just thought it was a lovely image of the world at the moment. We are trying to hold hands. There's a lot of people in the world who are trying to break us holding hands, aren't they? But with the world, we are holding hands. And if we are ambassadors for Christ, as soon as we are one person, reach out our hand to another person, share the gospel with them, that person shares it with somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. And before we know it, you have a whole paper chain of God's people who are all praising and worshipping our God and making a difference in the world. We have to make a difference in this world. So I just thought that was a really nice image. Now, if you want to colour in those, you may not want to, I don't know, or anybody would like to colour in some faces, because we are all individuals, aren't we? All these little people might look the same, but we God's people are all completely different. He made us individuals, and all these little people are actually individuals. So if you do want to colour them in, so thank you very much, everybody who's held up my paper chain. And if anybody would like to colour it in, please feel free to draw some little faces on. You can be a kid again, Sarah, if you want. I was going to bring my garden kneelers in case anybody wants, because it's quite hard on the knees, this floor, isn't it? but while you're doing that, we'll sing another song. We'll sing Our God is an Awesome God, because he is awesome. He made us. He created this world. He is an awesome God. And let's not forget, he is an awesome God. Despite what's going on everywhere, he is awesome.
Thank you.
Maya is multitasking this morning. Not only is she doing the tech at the back, she's colouring in the people, and she's going to do a reading for us. So come on down, Freya. Howard. So the reading is going to be 2 Corinthians 5, and it's verses 17 to 21.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
And now we're going to have another song, Your Grace is Enough, This is Our God.
Your grace is enough more than a need. At your word.
And if you'd like to stay seated, and the children are going to go out to Sunday school now, so they're going to take all the paper shape people with them. Hope it doesn't collapse on its way out. So we'll just pray for the children as they go. Not too many today. But we, Father, ask your blessing on our children. We ask your protection on the children, and we ask you to open their hearts and their eyes to your love. We ask you to bless those in the room today, but bless also those who are not with us today. May your loving heart be with them and help them to know that we are their family and that we love them and that you love them. Guide the teachers in the room today. May you reflect your light into the lives of these precious young people. Bless and enrich their time together. Amen. We're going to have a quiet time of prayer now. So just before Neil comes to speak, which time have we got? So I'll just give you a few headings, and then I'll leave a little bit of time of quiet for you to pray silently. So close your eyes and rest your mind and focus on the cross of Jesus, and let the Spirit guide your prayers during the times of quiet. We're going to pray for the world, for our country, our community and ourselves. So first of all, for the world which feels a heavy place at the moment, troubled and torn apart, overflowing with fear and distress. So let's pray for the countries in the Middle East caught up in the conflict there, and also for the Ukraine, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Myanmar and Sudan, and also for Nigeria, which was the focus of the World Day of Prayer this year. And they are the seventh on the Open Doors watch list of countries, which is where it's dangerous to be a Christian. So let's lift those countries up before the Lord.
Just be alongside them. We thank you for doctors, nurses, carers, and everyone who is who have been willing to go and be alongside those who are suffering. And we ask, Lord, we do ask for prayerfully for an end to this suffering, an end of this inhumanity.
Yes. Yes, amen. Yes, Lord, we do feel broken and we feel numb about what's happening. But we ask for your peace and justice to reign across the world. We ask for protection and safety for the civilians caught up in conflict. We ask for wisdom and restraint amongst decision makers and global leaders. We ask for comfort for families. And we ask for harmony and reconciliation and healing between nations. And now for our country, so let's pray for our country, our government and our leaders, political parties and councils, and all those who make decisions, our king also. So just a little bit of time for you to pray silently as the Spirit leads you. Lord, we ask for wise decisions to be made in our country. We ask that as we as a people would have compassionate and humble hearts. We ask that there would be an end to political point scoring and a renewed desire to take true care of one another. And we ask that leaders would be bold enough to follow that path. And for our community now, the people who live in our town, in Sandbach, our streets, our neighbours, the businesses and shops we frequent, the people we see as we go about our business. So again, a few more minutes for you to pray silently as the Spirit leads you. Lord, we ask your blessing and protection on our community, that we would truly be your ambassadors in our town. Give us hearts that love and care. And finally, for ourselves, we pray for each person sitting here, those sitting next to us, those who aren't here today. There's quite a lot of people missing today. Whatever they're doing, let's lift them up quietly in our own hearts to the Lord. Lord, may your blessing and your wisdom and your guiding hand rest on each person here, that each of us may feel your love and your power in our lives. And now we pray for Neil. We thank you for his willingness to work with us and guide us. We thank you for the message you've laid on his heart. And we ask that you will now breathe your life into his words. Open our hearts to hear them. Amen. And we welcome Neil up to speak to us.
Cheers. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Cheers. It's good to be here. Obviously, I've met some of you at church meeting, and then a few weeks ago, we did an exercise one morning where we were thinking about the health of the church and, you know, what's going on in the church at the moment. And as many of you know, this is part of a process that will eventually help us to put together a profile for a new minister, or at least, you know, new ministry. I don't want to prejudge exactly what conclusions you'll come to, but we're going to go through this process, and that will help us to determine the sort of shape of future ministry in this church. And so next time, in a couple of weeks, we're going to think about what's important to the church now in terms of values, and what's important to the church over the next few years in terms of values. And then the third session, which I think is after Easter, we're going to be looking at, you know, so in the light of all the things that we've talked about, you know, what sort of shape of minister or ministries should we be looking at? And then we'll see, you know, where we've got to and where that takes us. Anyway, so this morning we're thinking a bit about ambassadors. We're thinking a little bit about vision. We're thinking a little bit about mission. We've just been thinking about the world, and, you know, in many ways we stand at a moment in our world where we're at a bit of a crossroads. Polarization is rising, trust is eroding, communities are fragmenting. And for us as Christians, this is one of these moments when we have to decide, are we going to live out of fear, or are we going to live out of hope? You know, the world is definitely in the business of promoting fear. But into that decision as to whether we think about life out of fear or hope, Paul's words maybe will land with us afresh. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not the ministry of winning arguments or defending our corner or preserving our comfort, but the ministry of stepping into the world's wounds with the same self-giving love that Jesus took to the cross. So mission isn't an optional extra for keen Christians, something that we can give to a small group over here and let them get on with it. It's actually the shape of God's heart for the world. But what, I wonder, comes to mind when I say the word mission? What time do you actually finish? I know you were worrying about the clock, which suggests that maybe I should worry about the clock too. Right, okay. So, when I use the word mission, what sort of things come to mind? Telling people?
Going out?
Young people?
A job to do?
Training.
Yeah.
Being sent. There we go. When you think about mission, many people's first reaction is to think of verses like Matthew 28. This is one of the verses on the screen if you can't read that at the back. Go and make disciples. It's about how we are called and challenged to make followers of Jesus, helping them to understand the ways of Jesus and to be baptized into the community of his followers. Or John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, reminding us that we are sent. We're not just waiting for something to happen, but we're moving beyond ourselves. There's some other verses there about love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, and preach the kingdom of God. Being sent in Jesus' name implies our commission is like Jesus's, one that if you like, it's holistic. It includes healing. It includes things that we might think of as social things, as well as teaching and evangelism. As in Luke 9, when Jesus sends out his disciples to preach the kingdom. These things tie together, if you like, Matthew's commission, a great commission, but also this great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love others alongside loving God. Yeah, and we could go on. There are many others. But the one that I'm trying to focus in on this morning are these verses that we heard read to us from 2 Corinthians. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and so God were making his appeal through us. These verses I like because it reveals something of how large and how big God's plan is, reconciling the world to himself. Reconciliation is the heart of the gospel. If you think of it like this, so go back to the beginning of Genesis. How close can I get to the speaker? That's the other thing we need to learn in a new church. God creates the world. The world is good. The world is perfect. God creates human beings to live in the world. Adam and Eve, they are given authority over the world. They're told to multiply and fill the world, that the world might be filled with the glory of God. And God makes the world, and it's great, and it's good. But what happens next? We get sin. It all goes a bit apple-shaped. And so now we have a problem. God made the world good and perfect and created human beings to live in relationship with God, in harmony with God and in harmony with one another. And now it's all a bit messed up. The question is, whose word gets to have the last word? Is it God's word? Or is it the snake's word or our word? The answer, of course, is God's word. So God sends Jesus. I mean, there's obviously a whole of the Old Testament. We're just abbreviating for the sake of lunch. But God sends Jesus in order to reconcile the world, you know, back to himself. And through that, we have forgiveness of sins and various other things. But what we have now, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, isn't all that is going to happen, because ultimately, there's going to be a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. God is going to reconcile all things. And so to understand reconciliation, we need to grasp something of the force of God's love. It's because God so loved the people he created that he made a way to restore this fractured relationship. It's not wrath, it's because of God's love that he has done the reconciling. It is because of God's love that he doesn't count our sins against us. It's because of God's love that we are renewed and given life. Which is not to say, lest anybody accuse me at the door afterwards of, you know, misrepresenting the gospel, this is not to say that God does not shout an enormous no to sin and injustice and pain and destruction. But the key to understanding God, it seems to me, is God's love for us and his creation. It's this love that leads to reconciliation. It's this love that leads to restoration. And so God reconciles all things. I wonder if our vision and our understanding of God is big enough. Because God's vision of reconciliation is pretty enormous. It's to make the world whole again, to bring shalom, to bring peace and harmony back to relationships and to nature. In Colossians 1, Paul puts it this way: through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. And it seems to me this making whole has several dimensions to it. There is this vertical dimension between us and God as individuals. There is a horizontal dimension also, this living in peace between us and other people, you know, our ability to live in community. And then there's a sort of what for the sake of dimensions, might want to think of as a circular dimension between God and humanity and creation. God's reconciliation, you know, encompasses all of those things. And mission, if we're going to use the word, requires all three elements of reconciliation, of restoration, of peacemaking, of stewardship. Revelation 7 gives us a vision of this peacemaking. After I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." A glimpse of the future that includes countless people from every people group, there poised for worship, because the one standing before them put an end to persecution, hunger, natural disasters, mourning, tears, and death. A vision of people without dividing walls, who are at peace with God and with one another. An intercultural mix that can be seen in shalom, in social relationships, friendships, not just people not in conflict, but people brought together because what God has done. Isaiah 65 paints another picture, that of renewal. He starts with the creation of a new heaven and a new earth and says, "They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands." It is a picture of God's renewing work, remaking creation, recreating the heavens and the earth. It's a picture of justice, of fertile lands, majestic mountains, long life. It's a picture of the world as God created it to be, in which we care for creation, in which we steward what has been entrusted to us. And then, going back to the Gospels, Jesus declares his authority over heaven and earth. There will be a day when creation will stop groaning, when the lion will lie down with the lamb, when the trees of the field will clap their hands. At the end of time, when Christ reconciles all things, we will see not only the redemption of humanity, but a restored creation. And it's this gospel, this big gospel of reconciliation, that we are now ambassadors for. Apparently, to be a successful diplomat, it's suggested you need to have certain skills. Skills, I might, just as an aside, that are not seen in every political leader, particularly of our cousins, the other side of the Atlantic pond. But to be a successful diplomat, it suggested you should have certain skills, that of communication, able to speak and write clearly, preferably in multiple languages, to communicate with others. Relationship building, developing strong relationships by active listening, by studying the difference between cultures. A knowledge of current events. Staying up to date on news and foreign affairs, understanding differences helps you to have productive conversations with others. And adaptability. An ability to adapt to different cultures, customs and policies. Being flexible can help you navigate unexpected situations with grace and composure. And while Paul was clearly not writing for people looking for a career in the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office, and he was writing before LinkedIn produced these sorts of summaries, the key skills nevertheless remain. If we want to awaken people to the faithfulness of God in Jesus and invite them to follow him, we need to understand our world. We need to understand the things that folk face. If we want to be people who seek the good of the city where we're based, if we want to be people who signpost godly values, we need to be adaptable and not to fear the culture, or to fear change. If we want to point people to the kingdom of God and get away from the temptations in our world that seek comfort in the wrong places. If we want to point people to the kingdom, we need to communicate who God is and what God has done in Christ. No, no, don't worry. No, you. Apparently, when Ronald Reagan was president of the US, his Secretary of State was George Shultz. And the story is about George Shultz, really. He apparently would have new ambassadors into his office one at a time before they went out from the State Department to wherever they were posted. And he would have them in for a short chat. And he would say, okay, Mr. Ambassador or Madam Ambassador, you've passed all the tests, you've been confirmed by the Senate, you've done all the things to get the position of ambassador, but I have one more small test for you. And he'd take them to a globe and he would spin the globe round and say, I want you to put your hand on your country. And Shultz would tell this story because, he said, every single one of them failed. I let them go anyway, but they failed. Because whenever he spanned the globe and he'd say, I want you to put your hand on your country, what would happen is they would always put their hand on the country that they were being sent to, as if to prove that they'd worked out where Myanmar was. Apparently, a very large percentage in the last week of people, according to a Gallup poll in the US, have no idea where Iran actually is. I leave that thought with you. But Shultz's point was their country was the United States, not the country that they were going to. As God's ambassadors, we are grounded in Christ. We know whose we are and where our citizenship lies. Our citizenship is in heaven. Most of us are also citizens of Great Britain, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we serve a big God who has a big vision. And so This isn't really a Lent sermon, but during this time of Lent, as we try and reorientate ourselves to God, and as we think of discipleship afresh, maybe this is an opportunity to be gripped again by who God is, to be amazed at the scope of everything that God does, to be in awe of the enormity of his plans, and to allow God to use us, to make a way for us to share this ministry of reconciliation, sharing the light of Jesus, demonstrating God's compassion, caring for people and for planet. You know, let's have a vision of God and of God's purposes, and let's share that with the world. Imagine, if you will, walking through a city after the rain has fallen. The pavements are still wet. You can feel the air is a bit cleaner. And in the cracks of the pavement, you notice green shoots pushing through. The thing about the green shoots in the pavement is nobody planted them there. They're just growing in forgotten places. They're growing in unexpected places. They're there because they're quiet, they're stubborn, and yet they're also quiet, stubborn signs of renewal. And sometimes as ambassadors of Christ, we need to plant seeds in the cracks of the world, in the unexpected places, in the overlooked places, in the strained and weary places. Obviously, we don't control the growth, but we simply scatter hope in a world where people peddle fear. We scatter hope. The world is not just concrete. God is in the business of bringing it to life. We can be people who plant seeds of life, who act as God's ambassadors in the places of fear and strain. Let us bring life. Amen. And so as a way of responding to this, we are going to sing another song together as we sing, "We Bow Down and Confess, You Are Lord in This Place."
We bow down.
And so we move to a time of communion. Do take a seat. And as we move to communion, it's right to that we call to mind the meaning of the Lord's Supper, to recall why we break bread together. Might be a bit easier for the PA. But we break bread together to remember the cross, to encounter the risen Lord. We do this because it's a communion with one another in his body and an anticipation of his coming. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He showed his love among us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And so let's take a moment and pause and reflect. And Lord, as we do, we come to you, merciful God, and we confess that too often our hearts turn from you, and we are tempted to put our trust in less worthy people and principles. Help us to search our hearts, to see where our faith is weak. Enable us to put our trust in you above all else. Lord, as we confess our sins to you, we thank you for the assurance of your pardoning love. May we hear the good news of the gospel, that Christ is raised from the dead, and in him our sins are forgiven. The Apostle Paul tells of the institution of the Lord's Supper, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So, Lord, this morning we do want to give you thanks and praise for this bread and for this wine. We want to give you thanks and praise for your life and for your ministry, for your death and resurrection. And Lord, as we lift our hearts to you in thanks and praise, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, as we share this bread and wine, it may be to us your body and blood. Then being joined to your body, we may feed on you by faith and serve you with our lives. Amen. Wonder if the folk who are going to serve communion might make their way. And so as the cup is distributed, what we'll do is if everybody holds on to them, we will all drink together. And so we all drink together to share in the blood of Christ. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus. Through him, we want to offer you our souls and our bodies as a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. Amen.
And so on a more individual pastoral basis, and I mean it's hopefully fairly inclusive, but I do apologise in advance if I've missed anybody off, but I'm sure that hopefully the Lord will prompt us. Anyway, Father God, we thank you so much for your love for each and every one of us, and thank you, Lord, for the way that you've broken into our lives at some point in the past, and now, Lord, you continue to be with us in each and every situation. And Father, we do thank you so much for answered prayers for each of us individually at various times in the past. And we thank you for those present, Lord, who've been through tough times, but Lord, you've brought them back to full health. And we thank and praise you for that, or continue to do so. And Father, we do bring before you especially, Lord, for Kay and for Mary in their grieving at the moment, Lord. Just pray that they would know your peace, your strength and your comfort now and into the future. And for all of us, Lord, who've lost loved ones in the past. We know it's a process, Lord, so just pray that we would always continue to know your blessing and your comfort through times of sadness, perhaps. Lord, we do pray for Daphne and for Lou, who are struggling with health issues, for Jill and for Chris, who will have to start his radiotherapy quite soon. Thank you for Betty's recovery, Lord, after her shoulder operation, and pray that she'll be able to come and join us again fairly soon. Continue to pray for Val. And Lord, we bring Marna before you as well, Lord, as she goes on Tuesday to the Christie for an MRI scan. May that be a clear result afterwards, Lord, to confirm, Lord, that cancer is no longer with her. And of course, we bring Susie before you, Lord. She has a very important meeting with lots of doctors tomorrow, Lord. So just bring her before you, Lord. May that be a very positive meeting, Lord, a positive appointment, Lord, and perhaps in some ways, humanly speaking, that they might struggle to know. But Lord, just give them the wisdom, we pray, to know how to best help her. And for Eunice and Alistair, of course, as they continue to support her. And Lord, we pray for Doug and for Laurie and for Angela and for Helen and for Lynn, Lord. And there'll be others too, Lord, and particularly those, Lord, whatever the needs are, Lord, be they physical, spiritual, mental or emotional, Lord. We just thank you that you are the God of all provision. We pray, Lord, that each one of us would know your blessing to us each day. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, we're now going to have the final song, which is a modern classic, I guess, In Christ Alone. And so if you can stand if you can, or sit if you wish to, anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
just being a primary school, of course, there are things on the wall, and I just noticed there's a sort of star on the walls here. It says, "Have I made progress?" Maybe the challenge for us this week is make progress in our walk with the Lord. Lord, help us to make progress in our walk with you this week. May we know you more. May we follow you more closely. May we be aware of your Spirit alongside us and within us and empowering us. Lord, help us to be your ambassadors. Help us to shine for you. Help us to reflect some of your glory to the world around us. And may we know your blessing upon us this week and always. Amen.